Out with it, Frank. I've got to get back to work, and I'm cold. Julia's getting death threats. Maybe it's over all the outdoor decor in the front yard, or maybe it's over the other things that are going on, he said, picking imaginary lint off his jumpsuit. Death threats? That's not news. I've threatened to kill Julia many times. Why are other threats newsworthy? I asked, while clapping my gloved hands together in an attempt to keep them warm. Julia had a knack for ticking people off. The comment she made to her manager at the telecom company, where we both used to work, got her downsized right out the door. I still work there, and we've remained friends, even though it is difficult at times. One man from the Neighborhood Business Association told her she was making the neighborhood look like a cheap amusement park. They complained she would force them to hire police for traffic and crowd control to handle all the types of people it would attract. Frank air-quoted types. They said tons of cars come and see her production would jam up the streets, and they can't get to and from their homes, not to mention it'll bring more crime. The Neighborhood Association sent her this letter, telling her to remove it all. He handed it to me to read. I guess they're afraid she'll compete with the owner of the local chicken franchise, who turned Christmas lights into neighborhood warfare when he tricked out his home, I said while reading the letter. I flipped the paper over to see if anything was written cryptically on the back. Nada. You know who they are referring to, right? Yes, Frank said between sniffles and a big eye roll that moved his head around with it. After reading the demand letter sent by the Neighborhood Association, I took a minute to look at what they seemed so worked up over. Julia did have a lot of outdoor decorations, more than anyone else. But growing up in New Orleans, people always put out tacky stuff during every holiday. We have Mardi Gras, for goodness sake, Frank said. Everybody should be used to tacky by now. What if they make her close the bed and breakfast? Frank asked, more distressed than usual, and started pulling at a short piece of hair on the back of his head. I looked around. There were so many things moving, spinning, blinking, and twinkling, that as soon as my eyes moved to the next decoration, I noticed something I missed and had to go back and look at it all again. Even in the daytime, the number of lights all over her large mansion turned the bed and breakfast into a thing to behold. I could see every light was equally spaced and faced the same direction. Who has time to do all this? I don't think it'll come to that, I said. This is Julia's first year of being in her new business, and I think she's excited, that's all. I crossed my fingers behind my back. There's probably some association rule she's violating, and they sent a letter asking her to comply. No big deal. No, it's not just the letter. One neighbor complained to her about the traffic. Frank picked up a box resting on the ground near his feet, addressed to Julia. This was left at the front door, and there's no return address or sender marked on it. Do you think we should open it? He asked, pushing the package into me. It was thumping, like something was hopping around inside. Bombs tick. They don't bump around inside a box, I said. When will she be back? The way the box was moving gave me the creeps, so I tried to hand it back to him. Frank wouldn't take it, so I put it back on the ground. It continued to erratically thump around like something inside wanted out. It seems something was sleeping, and we woke it up. She went to lunch with LB about 30 minutes ago, and this came right after. What if something is alive in here and dies from no air before she gets back? He asked. Something like what? I asked. Neither of us could now take our eyes off the box moving around by itself.